You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, September 15th, 2010. This is episode 149, Calling All Secretaries. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs. As usual, we're on episode 149, one away from our 150th anniversary. Sally, good morning.
Good morning, Martin. Great to hear your voice this morning. Hope all is well in Milwaukee. Enjoying a beautiful fall.
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of one of those good news, bad news seasons. I really like fall, but I know that it is a precursor to other things, at least here in the Midwest. So the trees are beautiful, but they won't be for long.
Right. I see mounds and mounds of snow wanting your shoveling in your near future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm getting too old for that, and my son's not around anymore to help me out. So,
quite the
why
dilemma.
Do I live here again? It's not all bad. There are some very good redeeming qualities about Milwaukee, as I'm sure there are for Sleepy Eye.
Absolutely,
including buttered corn day.
There you go.
All right,
you are on to our best thing.
I'm excited about the show today. I've been looking forward to this since we did some planning. And we're trying to come up with a topic for this season, you know, post-summer, where we kind of look at this as the new podcast season, as it were, at least I do. And one of the ideas that you had, which I think is awesome, is to focus on a particular position, you know, within the church and school, and that's the church and school secretary, or in general, church and school administration. We kind of teased the show last week that we were going to begin using this topic, and we will do this. I think we'll do this every month, right? Try and focus on some aspect of church and school administration.
Yeah, Martin, I thought it would be a good idea, especially after our summer visit to Houston, Texas, where we talked with Sally Valesky. Great interview that we had this summer on Wells Tech Podcast number 142. So if you hadn't heard that one, you might want to tune in to that one as well. But Sally kind of teased us a bit and got us thinking along these lines that there's a whole population of church secretaries, school secretaries, staff ministers, and administration positions that are using a whole bunch of technology to make those church offices run smoothly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in general, they're a one-man or a one-woman show, kind of working independently and figuring things out in a lot of different areas. They have to be masters of copy machines, and in our church, we have a folding machine. Boy, that takes a lot of skill, let me tell you, to fold the bulletins and everything. Yeah. You know, they have to know all different kinds of software. Many of them handle financial responsibilities as well as database responsibilities, and just kind of a prime area, I think, that we could really do some networking and sharing of ideas, as Sally and Dan Scheffel did this summer when we talked about time and talent surveys.
And on top of all that, they have to deal with pastors.
Oh, boy. That can be a challenge.
That can be a challenge. You know, no aspersions cast here, but sometimes the pastors are not that easy to work with. Principals as well. And I think those people that are in those positions as far as church and school secretaries, you know, in many respects, it's a labor of love. You know, I mean, they're certainly not getting rich, you know, in that position. Many of them work for very little pay or no pay at all, and they do it for their Lord, which is a wonderful thing that you can that you would have an opportunity to do when they're willing to do that. So we're going to focus on a couple of different aspects, probably each show that we focus on the church and school administration or office tools and some skills that are necessary. And this week's interview, we probably heard that loud and clear that church and school secretaries do want to network and learn what others are doing and share some experiences, share some tips and efficient and productivity kinds of things. And Joanne Nemers, who you knew from your days in Texas, was good enough to come on the show.
Yep, she serves as a school secretary down in the Dallas area, and had a lot of great ideas and things to share from her responsibilities. And and you're right, one of the things that really jumped right out at us right away is that need for community, with the church and school secretaries being able to have a platform where they can connect. And I guess that brings me to, you know, the joys that, that I've gotten from the Wells Tech community as well as the Final Web community, and being able to learn from everyone who listens to the podcast and those who use the Final Web software as well. And we just kind of like to extend that or open that up for the church secretaries and school secretaries. Perhaps they are listening already to the podcast, but maybe not. And so one thing that we'd encourage our listeners to do is just to make them aware of this podcast series in particular as being a good starting point for them to learn about some of this technology and to learn about how to connect with others.
Yeah, join the conversation. I suspect, and we don't have scientific evidence as far as our listenership is concerned, other than, you know, who comments to us and those that we talk to when we're out and about. But I think primarily it's pastors and teachers that listen, and some dedicated laymen who are interested in technology. But as you mentioned, this is one area that I think we have something to offer. And those people that we've talked to, that we've made them aware that this exists, are really excited to know, you know, that we have this network, we have this community of people interested in these kinds of topics. So if you are so inclined, make sure that you forward this information to your church or school secretary, episode 149, and about monthly we will revisit the topic. But I think in almost all of our shows, Sally, there are things that the church or school office would benefit in being a little bit smarter on, whether they be our picks of the week or feedback or websites. Those kinds of things are all, I think, valuable things that somebody might get something out of.
Right, and rather than thinking of it as, oh, I don't have time for an hour, you know, maybe turn it on and play it in the church office as you're working, and think of it as your little personal professional development tool. Yep. So maybe you can't go to class or make it to a conference, but you can tune in and get some ideas from the podcast each week.
Yeah, we can label this podcast Safe for Church and School Office.
Clean content.
That's right.
I hope so. Another platform that we have, Martin, that we want to make sure and make people aware of is our Wells Tech Wiki. And we talk about that often, but maybe we should just kind of take a step back and talk about what exactly a wiki is. And in this regard, a wiki is a collaborative website, and anyone can create an account. It's totally free. You just visit the wiki at wellstechwiki.wells.net, and there's links there to join the wiki. And once you have an account, then you can add your own stuff to the website. And what we'd like to see is a new area of the website, church and school administration, really blossom with a lot of great content, things like sharing of forms and resources that you use in your office work, and also maybe a list of the best hardware and software recommendations that you have related to getting things done in the church or school office. And so we'll have a link in our show notes that'll take you right to this new section where we're going to be adding a lot of this content as we go through the series. And we'd really like to see that grow. One area that we haven't used very much on the wiki, Martin, is the discussion forum. And each and every page of the wiki has a place down toward the bottom of the page where people can discuss things, ask questions, leave comments, things like that. And we've actually carved out a particular category for church and school administration in the discussion forum. So that might be a place where this community can kind of begin to grow. If you want to be a part of that, you know, create an account on the wiki and start asking your questions or start sharing information through the forum process, and we'll see how that develops as well.
Yep, we'd love to get more people involved, and at the very least, if you ask a question, both Sally and I monitor that, so we would be happy to chime in as well with our thoughts. But really, the power of a wiki like that is other people in those positions being able to comment authoritatively on the question being asked or the topic being discussed. So a lot of things that you can do. There are other things that you can do as we go through this series that we would encourage you to do. One would just be to support your office administrators. Recognize that they have important work and that there are resources out there, and you as a podcast listener may be able to share some things that may be helpful to them as well.
Right. And also, if you have a great office administrator, we would love mm-hmm. to interview them
yeah.
on the
yeah,
WealthTech
absolutely.
Podcast. So give us a plug for your favorite office administrator so that we can share their knowledge with the whole listener community.
As we did with the upcoming interview with Joanne Nemers, and which was right. I really enjoyed that, Sally. I think she has some great insights.
Right. And, you know, just know that these office administrators are in a position that requires a lot of dedication, a lot of hard work, you know, a vast knowledge across a lot of different areas, and then, you know, the ability to know that they're serving their Lord and to work mm-hmm. it with compassion for all of those that they encounter, because it is an interesting position to hold, I'm sure.
Yep. And before we jump into the interview, you've got some links that you've put together, Sally.
Yeah, one in particular, I was really excited to find a recent study that was conducted, and it's kind of a research-type paper that was written up. It's a PDF link, so if you're interested at all, you can download this 6-page document and read through a survey that was done of 1,000, I believe, church secretaries, mm-hmm. and just a lot of different questions. They divided them up into, I believe, 4 different main areas. Mm-hmm. First, they kind of gathered some demographic kind of information, whether they were married, what kind of education they have,
how many children,
that kind of thing, just to kind of mm-hmm. draw a picture of who the church secretary is.
It's very interesting.
Yep. And then they dig into, you know, what exactly is their job description? You know, who do they report to? You know, do they do the Sunday worship bulletin? Do they do the church newsletter? Do they work on a database on the computer?
What's your job title is? What your pay is? You know, your previous job, unpaid hours weekly, I thought was interesting. 18 hours on average spent during the week that are unpaid. So it just
that's pretty telling, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Years in the current position, 6.9. Do you do the newsletter, et cetera, et cetera. Very, very interesting. This is great reading.
Right. Just really paints a picture of the church secretary. And one thing I saw was that they typed 62 words per minute. I don't know how many of our church secretaries type that fast. I bet a lot of them do. Mm-hmm. Boy, I wouldn't pass that standard at all.
You're not a hunter. You're not a hunt and pecker, though, are you?
No, I look at my keyboard.
Do
now,
you? You peek? You're a peeker.
Yes, I am. Not a good typist. Oh, well. Gets me by.
Okay. So. Well, I can type faster than I can write at this point, so.
Yeah. Interesting relationship with the pastor kind of comes out of the survey questions, you know, whether they actually handle his appointment calendar for him. And very few do. I was really surprised. Maybe they aren't using Google Calendar for that, mm-hmm. You know, and having a slick way to do that.
Even what you call him, you call him pastor or Jim or in some cases father.
Yeah, it was a variety there. And whether they communicate with the pastor via the internet, only 32% said yes. I know in our church office, they're using Skype for instant messaging because they aren't real close to each other. One's on one floor and one's on another. And so they rely heavily on just a quick Skype communication back and forth between the pastor and the secretary.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So it's worth, it's a free survey that we'll put a link in the show notes, but I think you'll have some fun with it, and it'll be kind of revealing maybe some information here that you may want to share as the, I think every congregation struggles with this position, how it should be structured, the responsibilities, the pay, the, you know, the title, you know, all kinds of things. And I think this is a good survey to at least see how other people are doing it. And with a sampling size of 1,000 people, you really get a pretty honest look at what church secretaries are doing today.
So there's a few more links that I came across. I was really just looking to see if anything existed in terms of specific help or whatever, and I do want to include one link to a website called Church Secretary Essentials. Didn't dig too far into this, but this particular gal has a series of Google videos that she's put together where she talks about different things like having great bulletins or the 7 commandments for bulletins that pop. Anyway, maybe you'll find something of use there as well.
So if you are a church secretary or school secretary listening for the first time, and you know, one dedicated Wells Tech podcast listener forwarded you this information, the show notes that we produce every week are really just a collection point for all of the things that we've talked about, and they can always be found at wellstech.wells.net.
Yep, so make sure you visit the website and visit the wiki and send us your feedback. We would love to hear from you and hear about the great things that are going on in your church or school office. And, you know, I guess one thing that I'm going to just put out there to the church and school secretaries is don't be afraid to share. You know, maybe you feel like you don't have anything that's worthy of sharing, but I bet you there's lots of other people that are dealing with the same issues and would love to hear your ideas on how you're managing your office. So don't be afraid. Join the conversation.
Okay, so should we move on with the interview?
Yeah, I'm excited for this one.
You want to introduce Joanne to our listeners?
You bet. Joanne is a good friend of mine from my days when I was a member of Atonement in Plano, Texas. That's where she and her husband, Brett, are members still. And she serves as the school secretary at Calvary Lutheran School in Dallas, Texas. She has 2 children yet in school there, but they've sent 5 kids through the school in total. So lots of experience with the school, and now I'm sure doing great things in the school office. So with that, we should listen to Joanne.
Joining us today on the Wells Tech Podcast from Calvary Lutheran in Dallas, Texas, Joanne Nemers, who's the school secretary. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're really pleased that you were able to take some time and share some thoughts. We're just starting a series on our podcast about the church and school office, the people who are in them and are really vital to the, you know, the operations of those organizations, and we felt that it would be good to talk with somebody who's kind of on the front lines and some of the things that you use and might prove valuable for other people to consider using. So maybe before we jump into some of the tools you use and how you work there and how you keep things decent and in order, so to speak, maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself, family background, home congregation, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. Well, I'm married for just over 20 years. Grew up Wells in Appleton area, Wisconsin. Went to Christian Day School and Fox Valley Lutheran High School. Yeah. And I completed a degree in electrical engineering after high school up in Houghton, Michigan. So went from snow to heat. met my husband the first day of work in Syracuse, New York, and we lived there for 6 years. Now we live in Texas, and we have 5 children. Okay. One is at Martin Luther College, 2 at Luther Prep, and then I have 2 that attend Calvary Lutheran School. I belong to Plano, Atonement Lutheran Church in Plano. There are 3 churches in the area that support Calvary Lutheran School. So we worship at Plano, and then I am the school secretary at Calvary.
Okay. How big's the school?
This year we have about 75 students.
Oh, that's awesome. Great.
They do a lot of fun things down at Calvary Lutheran. I understand that you're gearing up for a trip. Is it going to be this spring that you're going abroad?
It is. It's in March. They have a really neat program at Calvary. They have kind of a 3-year rotation for class trips for the students in grades 6 through 8. And 1 year, they will take them on what they call the synod trip, and we will go and see some of the synod schools, Luther Prep, the seminary, Wisconsin Lutheran College, and a few of the sites along the way between Dallas and Wisconsin.
All those Wells then, resort spots, yes.
Yes. Then 1 year, we go to Washington, D.C. The principal feels it's really important for all the kids that age to visit the nation's capital. Mm-hmm. And so I've been there twice now because with 5 children, I like to go along on the trips. And then the 3rd year is when we can work it, is an international trip. Mm-hmm. And so 3 years ago, I went with my daughter, Rebecca, to Rome, Italy. and it was wonderful.
Well, I went to the wrong grade schools.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
It's really a neat setup.
Oh, that's awesome.
And this year we're planning to go to Paris in March of 2011 with a day trip to Normandy because our principal is a big history buff, and then one other day trip to Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. So
you're brushing up on your French?
Well, we're taking a few parents who know a little more than I do, so I'm going to hang by them.
Okay. Well, that sounds awesome. Exciting.
Yeah.
Guessing with all that exciting activity in your school office, you use a lot of technology to make it all happen. So we thought maybe we'd start by focusing on some of the hardware that you use. Just wondering if you have favorite office equipment and office equipment that's maybe your arch enemy or anything like that.
Well, we replaced our major copier a year or so ago, and this new one has not given me near the problems. So,
so
the copiers work great, and we just replaced my computer this summer, so I'm getting used to the new Windows and everything like that, but really like it so far. Haven't had any complaints. And one of the little trinkety things that we have in the office that really has... I would just recommend it because it's not an expensive gadget, is our label printer, where if you just need to print out one label to put on an envelope to send to somebody, it hooks right up to your computer, and you don't have to print a whole sheet of labels or waste a whole sheet of labels. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that just never gives me trouble, and I like that.
Yeah, I'm looking at my brother P-Touch,
PT1230. Exactly.
Is that what you've got?
Yes, I do.
And I use it all the time as well. Really sweet, and it really helps keep things organized as far as file folders are concerned, or anything you want to label. And that's probably a very important activity in a school office, as things tend to walk away if they don't have a label on them.
Yes.
From pens to folders to bigger things.
That's right. Over the summer, we redid all the student files and bought files that had individual tabs, several individual tabs, and mm-hmm. it helped quite a bit labeling. So.
All right. Great tip. And that works seamlessly with the computer, which is nice. It just is kind of fits right into the workflow. What about some of the software you have on that hardware? What systems and tools do you make use of there? Do you use the Microsoft suite of tools? Do you use other databases, those kinds of things?
We do use Microsoft, and thankfully, through a little help from friends and husbands here and there, I've picked up a lot of tips.
Uh-huh.
And I guess one of the things I use very often on a daily basis is Shepherd Staff, because I'm tracking a lot of money, whether it's parents making registration fee payments or fundraising dollars coming in for our class trip. I'm depositing, I'm withdrawing, I'm paying bills, so I use that daily.
So you use the finance module of Shepherd Staff to do that?
Yes, that's what I use the most. We're hoping to ramp up on the membership end of things and get that more up to date. But right now, I do use finance daily.
So how does that work? I've heard mixed results with the finance module, but I've never really talked to anybody that's using it that heavily in the school setting. But you find that it does the trick for you.
Well, it's because the way Calvary is set up, their school budget and their church budget are one budget.
Okay.
And so they have school accounts set up separately from the church accounts. And some of the things that I track, it doesn't break it down quite that far in Shepherd Staff. Mm-hmm. So I will enter the deposit in Shepherd Staff, but then I will keep a separate Excel spreadsheet to break down what actually is in that account a little further for the information I need to track.
Okay. So it sounds like bookkeeper is also on your assigned duties as school secretary.
Yes, definitely.
And Excel is always a good friend to a bookkeeper. Get a plug in there for Excel, because you can always do a lot of things in a simple spreadsheet that maybe you don't have to do a more elaborate solution for.
Some people are religious about Excel. They'll do word processing in Excel. So that's their first
tool. Well, I couldn't live without it, because we track so many different things, and just to be able to manipulate the data the way you can with Excel is really amazing to me. And thankfully, I have a husband who's very computer savvy, and so what I don't know, I can usually pick up the phone and call him, and he can walk me through it. So
Very good. So I guess that kind of leads into the next question. And one of the things we hope to accomplish with this series on office work is how you get support. How do you learn what you need to know to manage all the different aspects of a school office? Do you rely on online resources? Do you have any kind of networking with other secretaries? Or what are your support channels for all that you do?
Well, a lot of calling people who I think know a little more than me.
That's the trick, yes. That's the secret.
As far as networking with other secretaries, that would be something I'm very interested in, because just to be able to say, okay, does anybody have a solution to this problem? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's kind of bang your head against the wall a little bit, and then 3 a.m. you wake up and it comes to you. So it would be nice to take the shorter route from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everybody would probably have some similar responsibilities and issues that they're trying to solve, and somebody sharing a great idea could save, you know, minutes or hours a week sometimes.
Yes. One of the other things I do every week is we have an after-school care program at Calvary. And different schools, I've found out from talking to different people, run their after-school care program in a different way. And the way we run it is you sign up that you're going to bring your kids, but then you're billed after the fact. And so the after-school care leader signs the children in every day, and then she signs them out when the parent picks them up. And then I take that information and do biweekly billing.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see a program that we could give our after-school care leader a laptop, and the kids would electronically sign in and sign out every day, and that would do some of the generation of the billing for me.
Right.
Because I'm doing a lot of data entry.
Cut out the middleman, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Do you use any kind of student information system, like PowerSchool or something like that, that keeps track of attendance, hot lunch, that kind of stuff?
We do use PowerSchool. That is probably one of those things in my mind that I've gotten more familiar with over time. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, it was so big to me, mm-hmm, that I didn't know how to approach it. There's so much available on there, and that's something where I'd look for further training on, because just this summer, by accident, we came across a report on there that we can print out and give to our families at the beginning of the school year and say, can you update all this information on here and return it? And it totally wiped out four of the other forms we were giving them every year.
Okay.
It was all combined onto one. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Very good. What about any resources from the Lutheran Schools Office at the Synod? Is there anything that you've tapped into from that source?
Not a lot. I know we get some publications from them, but the things that we're getting are to pass on to the families.
Sure.
And I haven't really delved into that area a whole lot up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a magic wand, Joanne, and you could wave it over your secretarial responsibilities there in your school office, what would you love to see that would make the biggest difference, you know, in your day-to-day operations there?
Oh, wow.
Here's your magic genie in a bottle question.
Can you give me 12 hours in an 8-hour day?
I'm sorry. Does not qualify. Does
no
not compute.
No technology solution for that one.
Well, like I said, the after-school care thing is something that's been in the back of my mind for a while now. And I guess, I think about it because we're maintaining one set of records on Shepherd Staff, and then we're maintaining another set of records on PowerSchool. I don't know that there is a way to combine that so that I'm not having to enter data in two places.
Right.
Because PowerSchool does so many things that something like Shepherd Staff doesn't need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just maybe information sharing between the two would be something interesting, but that may be totally beyond the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm. So is there a church secretary as well that you need to interface with, or do you kind of cover that side too?
There is a church secretary. She works fewer hours than I do, but she does a more limited scope.
Mm-hmm. So it does. It really would come down to you to keep the relevant records updated in both systems, whether you know student related, parent related information into Shepherd staff, so that there's always, you know, there's always accuracy between the two systems.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like is going to need to happen, unless they would designate that whole job to somebody else. But it looks like it may end up falling in the school secretary arena for the time being, yes. Mm-hmm.
What kind of hours do you put in there?
Well, my hours are great. So maybe I shouldn't complain about having 12 hours in an 8-hour day.
Uh-huh.
I work 4 days a week, and I get Thursdays off.
Okay.
And depending on the level of my workload, I will either stay till the end of the school day, or if I'm caught up with things, I will leave a little bit early and try and get some of my errands done before my kids are finished with school.
Mm-hmm. Now, with PowerSchool, you probably have access to that even if you're not in the office, but Shepherd staff probably not so much, huh?
No, we just got a new server set up where now I should be able to, with a password, access the files that are on the server at school.
Oh, okay.
That just is very recent. So I don't know if that would include Shepherd staff or just the other files that I could access and work from home on.
Okay.
So that I'm looking forward to, though.
Sure. Well, anytime. I think the way work happens these days, it's almost a requirement that you can't do it all, you know, from a single location. You need to be able to get at it from whatever location, whether that be a home office or, God forbid, in the middle of a vacation, that you may need to get
that's
information.
Right.
Never know.
That just happens. Yeah, maybe that's just me. I don't know. But
that's probably one of those magic wand kind of things for any secretary to be able to access her files remotely. And
mm-hmm.
So maybe we can share more information.
Yeah, we should
on that
talk about
well.
That a little bit more on the show, Sally, because there are options there that I think some schools think is maybe beyond them because it involves, you know, secure access and people get a little bit nervous about that. But that, I think that's a growing need. People need to get access to this information. Or you probably don't have snow days down there, but here we do. But still work goes on, you know, regardless. And not everybody can just walk across their backyard like Sally can either to the school. So
or be connected wirelessly in the same network.
That's right. That's right.
That's
pretty
nice.
It's not even a consideration for you guys.
Yeah.
So.
I can get to Shepherd staff from my office.
Okay.
Oh, very nice.
Rub it in. Yes. All right. Anything else you'd like to share, Joanne, as you think about things that might be worth sharing with those that are in the same position as you might be?
I guess I would just say keep getting the word out because you guys are doing wonderful work. And I really have to humbly admit I wasn't aware of how much you guys are doing until Sally phoned me about this. And
it's all Sally, by the way.
And I've already gotten online and watched some of her Shepherd staff training modules on the membership part of it.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's just, you're doing some really good stuff. Keep trying to get us all on board with you because we get too many emails and tend to ignore way too many of them. So.
Right. Well, that's kind of the purpose of this series is to create awareness, get more people like yourself listening to the show and sharing ideas. That's kind of the premise behind this show is to get like-minded people together and sharing good ideas. We're just kind of the middleman in this whole process to figure out how to get that information to more people. So, and having people on the show like yourself is really helpful to that. So blessings on your work there. That sounds exciting. And we'll have to check back in somewhere down the road as we kind of finish up this series and see how things are going for you.
See how Paris went for you.
That's right.
Yes, I'll send you a postcard. We've got a lot of fundraising to do between now and March.
There's always that, yes. Thank
very
you so
fun.
Much, Joanne. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again, Joanne, for coming on the show. She was a little bit nervous, I thought, when you first asked her to come on the show, but she did beautifully.
Yeah, she's a great gal and doing some wonderful things. And I'm signing up for that trip to Paris. I don't know about you, Martin, but it sounds like the school to be at.
Oh, man. Yeah, we went to the wrong school.
Yeah, we did get some useful links from Joanne. She mentioned a Brother printer that she uses for labels, and I'll have that link in the show notes. Joanne also mentioned that we have some Shepherd staff training resources available, and those are out on Wells.net University, and we'll include a link to our email if you're interested in getting access to those. They are password protected, but I'd be happy to add you to that. Just shoot us an email and let me know what your email address is, and I'll send you the login information to get access to those training resources.
Yep, those are great videos that we did there, so might as well let people take a look.
Absolutely.
All right, let's move on to ministry resources.
And this is a ministry resource for our teachers in the audience, and it's a place for kids to blog safely. This one came to us via Jason Schmidt, who teaches at Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska, and he sent a link to kidblog.org. And boy, am I excited about finding this website. Thanks very much, Jason. I think this is a great resource for teachers. It's very simple to get signed up. You go there and create an account, and then you create accounts for your students, giving them a username and password. And basically it runs on a WordPress engine. So if you're familiar at all with blogging with WordPress.com or WordPress.org resources, then you're going to feel right at home at kidblog.org. Just really simple to use. It rolls all the classroom blogs up onto a combined page where it lists all the blog posts, and then you can drill down to a particular student's blog, or you can look at a particular blog post if you want to drill down to a specific post. And as an example, I put one together for our school and had a few kids from our school try it out just yesterday, so we're just getting started with it, but I'll put a link in the show notes to the St. John's Technology Class blog, and you can check it out and see what the interface is like. I love the fact that it has a lot of privacy built in. So as a default, you can't even see the blog unless you're logged into it. But you can go in and change that if you want to make it public. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. But still, all the blog posts are moderated, meaning when the kids create a blog post, they can't post it automatically to the blog. It comes to me as the teacher, and I have to approve it, and I can even edit it before it gets published if I want to. Mm-hmm. And then all the comments are moderated as well.
Oh,
so
perfect.
It's nice to keep it private.
Yep.
They give you 100 meg of storage, and there's RSS feeds all over the place. You can get a feed of the entire all of the blogs combined, or you can get a feed of a specific blog if you want to follow a particular student.
So is that 100 megs per account or for the whole class?
I think it is for the whole class. Mm-hmm. I have to double check that.
And that's can you add pictures and those kinds of things, or is this text only?
Oh, you can. You can add pictures and links and video as well. I didn't add a video yet, but in the post that I did, I included a picture that linked to another site with a video, and that worked real smoothly. So
very nice.
I'll be teaching my kids all those tricks in the weeks to come.
Awesome.
Very excited to have this tool.
Well, thanks for the review, Sally, and thank you, Jason, for suggesting that. I've passed that along to some other folks as well. That's kidblog.org. Sounds like a real easy setup as well.
Definitely.
Shall we move on to news and tech?
Yeah, Martin, I think this is a tool you were using just recently, isn't it?
Everybody's using it now, I think, if you use Google. It's called Google Instant Search. We'll put a link to a YouTube video introducing it. I think it's Google's own introduction to the video. They do some to the tool. And really what it is, if you haven't used Google, go there now, google.com, and when you type in the box, the very first letter that you type will cue Google to spring into action and show you what it thinks you might be searching on. So it's kind of predicting based on two things, based on what other people have searched on, so popular things, and also your personal search history if you're logged into Google at the same time. It will also, actually it's three things, I forgot, that it will also base it on your location. So if you're entering in any kind of topic, it's going to use those three dimensions to try and predict what you're searching for. And as you type in letters, you're getting a full page of search results. Have you tried this, Sally?
I have. I actually tried it with the term Wells Tech. Concept. It took me all the way to the letter C before I actually got the Wells Tech link to come to the top of the list. But before I typed the full word, there were links galore to all of our Wells Tech goodness. So.
Yeah, and you're going to find that obviously the big websites and the most popular companies are going to appear at the top of the list until you refine that search. So if you type in T, for instance, you're probably going to get Target. If you type in W, you're going to get Walmart, those kinds of things. But it doesn't take too many letters to get very specific or narrow down the search to your geographic location or your interests or what you've searched on before. So very smart. It works. I think it works really well. I believe it'll be a time saver. And that was when they introduced the new tool, they had a big press release for it, and they had a big presentation and keynote about it. They gave some numbers about how they were hopefully going to improve the speed at which we could all search. And I think they've done a nice job. It's a nice implementation. It'll be interesting now to see what the other search engines do to kind of keep up with this instant search concept like Bing and Yahoo and the like.
I'm just smiling, Martin, because I'm waiting for that day when I don't need – already I don't have to press enter now on my Google searches. Soon I won't have to type at all.
So just think it.
Those skills that you're so proud of, they won't mean a thing.
That's right.
We always laugh about being Star Trek fans here in our household. We laugh about Scotty talking to the mouse and the one Trek computer a movie where they went back in time to the present day, and he's trying to tell the mouse, computer, and it's not listening, you know? So that day is coming. I can feel it.
All right. Shall we move on to picks of the week?
We should. And in keeping with our church secretary theme today, I thought that I would make my pick something we've actually talked about in the past on the podcast, and that is MailChimp.com, which is email marketing and email list manager, an amazing tool, and it's free on top of being so awesome. Mm-hmm. We have been using this in our church office for over a year now, and we are just more and more in love with the interface and the resources they provide at MailChimp. And so I revisited the website recently and realized that they've got even more available now than they did when we started a year ago. They actually have applications for your iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, all of those available. They have an iPad application that allows you to take list registrations via the iPad. They have two different podcasts available.
You have to share the name of that application, Sally.
If I could say it.
Chimpity-doo. Yes, okay. Chimpity-doo.
Yeah, that one's kind of strange. They're very cheesy with their tutorials, and that's what I love about MailChimp. They have this goofy chimpanzee that can do this mail list stuff, and if he can do it, you can too. It's a lot of fun. Their video podcast, they have two different ones. One is just the MailChimp podcast, and one's called MailChimp Academy. And both of those are just little short snippet videos, really fun and well done, that show you just how easy it is to use the tool. We use it for our church and school newsletter. On a weekly basis with church, we duplicate what's in our bulletin and send it out via MailChimp on Saturday mornings. So if people aren't going to be in church that weekend, they're still getting the bulletin announcements and things like that. And then again, on a weekly basis for our school, we do the school newsletter via MailChimp. And it's proved to be really valuable for those regular communications, but it's also valuable for things like snow days with school and funerals that come up during the week that we weren't able to announce in church on Sunday. So I don't think we'd want to live without MailChimp at this point. And if you're in a church or school office and are sending out regular communication, this may be a tool you want to check out. One more plug, we have a bonus Wells Tech Goodness episode. This was from last summer, where we looked in depth at MailChimp and linked to a lot of video tutorials and things like that. So if you're just getting started, that might be a great place for you to get started with that podcast episode.
We've talked about MailChimp a number of times in the past, and it's obviously a must-have, I think, tool or something like it for the church and school office, so it ties in nicely with our topic of the day. One of the, I think, best things about it is its analytics, where you can get a report on how well your email went, who read it, who didn't, if they clicked on a link in it, what links did they click on, how many people clicked on a link, what percentage of those it sent. It was sent to some great foundational tools for you to get an idea of how well you did, and you can make corrections based on that and tweak it to get the greatest readership possible. So all those tools come with free. You mentioned it was free. It's free for a certain number of emails per month and a certain number of people on the list. And I think most of our churches or schools would be under that limit, but there might be some that would have to pay. And even if you do have to pay, it's not an exorbitant amount. It's a tool we use to send out the Together newsletter and other things here at the Synod office. So very valuable tool for us.
Right. Their threshold is up to 500 subscribers and up to 3,000 emails a month. So if you had 500 subscribers, you could send 6 emails to the entire list. But you can also segment your list. So maybe you send only to the school families for this particular email, or only to the choir members for another email. And it allows you to do that as well. Yep. Very, very powerful, fun, actually, and easy to use.
Yeah, it's a subscription model. So your members or school parents could maintain their own subscription, so they would go ahead and subscribe or unsubscribe. So good model, good use, good tool. I think an invaluable tool for the church and school office. All right, my pick is, I got my Kindle, Sally.
My new toy,
yes. I'd not had an e-reader before, and I did a lot of research and debating. Actually, it wasn't even a close horse race, because this particular Kindle, the third generation, is the smallest and lightest e-reader out there. And I think, based on my examination, I've been using it for a week now, hands down the best. And I think most reviewers are saying the same thing. I got the Wi-Fi version. It's the graphite colored, really thin. It's about as thin as a pencil. And about the size of a good size paperback, so it's not huge. It won't fit in your pocket clearly, but it's like holding a paperback. It's about the same weight even, which is much different than maybe something like the iPad or some of the other readers that are available. My daughter Alicia bought the Nook from Barnes & Noble, and it's a lot thicker. And I think this is a little bit easier to hold and a little bit more comfortable. This just came out. I got the Wi-Fi version, which is $135. I would suggest, if you're interested in the Kindle, Wi-Fi is going to be good enough. There is a 3G version. I think it's for $185. But only if I can't see the need to have 3G available all the time. Mostly you can get Wi-Fi, in almost any location now, and you can download your books that way, and I think that works perfectly fine with the Wi-Fi version. It has an absolutely gorgeous screen, and that's a difference between this and something like an iPad or your computer screen or your laptop screen, where it uses a technology called e-ink, which is really amazing and beautiful. As I said, you look at it and you really don't think you're looking at a screen. It looks like a piece of paper. And the technology behind it is actually they are using ink. It must be metallic ink and a magnetic imaging system, where it's almost like an etch-a-sketch is kind of the way it works in my brain. And for that reason, it doesn't take a lot of power. So what I'm told, and I haven't had it long enough to test this, but with Wi-Fi off, and you really don't need Wi-Fi unless you're downloading a book, this thing will be charged for 30 days of use. You never have to really turn it off. It goes to sleep after 10 minutes if you haven't turned a page. But you can also not only get books, which are almost always cheaper than their paper counterpart, so you're being greener, you know, in the process, but you can get magazines, newspapers. I subscribe to a local newspaper here in Milwaukee, the Sentinel, the Journal Sentinel. And I canceled it because I felt that it probably wasn't a great reading experience. When you read a newspaper, you kind of like to scan the whole thing, open up the paper, look at different articles. Here, it's obviously very linear on a smaller screen. So not as good for newspapers, probably not as good for magazines either. But for books, it's really nice. You can also send PDFs to it. So if you have a document that you want to have with you, you can send that to a Kindle address, which is your very own, and then it just appears on your or Kindle. And then one last thing, which is really nice, is that you can also get a couple different apps, one for your iPhone or your Android or your smartphone. I think most of them are supported with this Kindle app. And also you can read on your computer, and what Amazon does for you is it syncs everything together. So you have the ability to leave off in one spot, and if you've got it on your phone, as if you're reading on the Kindle, you leave off at one point, you can pick up your iPhone or your Android phone and continue reading on that if that's all that you have available to you. So I think it's a great device, and probably another death knell, so to speak, for paper books, although some people We'll probably always want the paper books. We're seeing statistics right now that are saying that e-books are overtaking the paper books, and that probably will be something we'll see over this Christmas or holiday season as well. So, the Kindle third generation from Amazon.
Well, we do have a Kindle in our home as well.
Oh, Martin, do you?
My teenage son has a Kindle. He wanted one for his birthday, and he is an avid reader. I can't keep him in books, and he is so thrilled with his Kindle. And I guess my impression, which I don't have much of an impression because he doesn't let it out of his hands hardly ever, but when you say it has a beautiful screen, that's just an understatement. Until you experience that and experience it in bright sunlight, it's just stunning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my iPod is difficult to see in the sunshine. Mm-hmm. The Kindle is crystal clear and just like a piece of white paper with black text on it. It's so easy to read. And I just, you know, for all the naysayers who would say, oh, my eyes can't handle that, or I'd get tired of that, you have to experience
it. It's really easy on the eyes.
Make that statement. Yeah.
It'll play audio files, too. So if you have an Audible subscription or an audio book, you can put that on the Kindle by syncing it to your computer. And there's a little headphone jack. So it is a multimedia device as well. It does allow you to surf the web a little bit, although that's kind of a clunky experience and probably not its main feature. But if you are a book reader, this is really, in my mind, a must-have.
The way to go.
Yep.
All right.
Let's move on to, we have a Wells.net feature this week.
And actually, full disclaimer, it's a WellsTechWiki.Wells.net feature.
But that it qualifies.
Actually, yeah, it's under that domain.
Yep.
So we just wanted to point you again back to the wiki, but this time to our online worship section, which is a place where we have strive to keep an up-to-date list of live sermon streaming, archived audio and video, closed caption video, and people posting sermons in iTunes. We have a page dedicated to each of those different types of resources, and we want you to go out and make updates to that so that we are, you know, capturing that, because I think there's more and more people that are looking for online worship resources, and this has become our tool for organizing all that information. Lots of great stuff out there. And just on a personal note, and I think we've talked about this before on the podcast, we had a little bit of a connection here in Sleepy Eye with our Mexico mission team. They recently relocated to León, Mexico for safety purposes. And in the new city, they hadn't yet established Sunday worship because they were just brand new there as a missionary team.
You're talking
team.
About the Hartmans, right?
The Hartmans, as well as Wagon Connects and Martins, there's a whole group of them that actually moved to Lyon at the same time earlier mm-hmm. this spring, and they were actually able to tune in and participate in our worship here in Sleepy Eye because we do the live broadcast. So they found that on the online worship page, started watching our live broadcast, downloaded our worship folder each week, and actually joined with us in worship, this whole group of believers down in Mexico, for several months. And they actually are now ready to launch their own church services there in Lyon, so they won't be joining us anymore. But received this short email from Pastor Hartman, who's serving there, and he says, you know, it's hard to describe. He says, we're excited to see how God blesses the church, and at the same time, we really enjoy worshiping with you. It was such a treat we look forward to each week. I really have a hard time explaining how much it meant to us, but let's just say, when you're far from friends and family, you really appreciate the time you get to spend with them. You're part of the family of Christ, and we enjoyed our time with you each Sunday morning. So, you know, that's not why we set out to do live streaming at St. John's and Sleepy Eye, but what a huge blessing to uh-huh. be able to reach out in that way, and you just don't know who you're going to reach with those live video services, so our archive video for that matter.
Right.
And so I encourage everyone out there to consider some type of outreach via the web with the great resources that you have available to you. And if you are doing it, to please go to the wiki and update our online worship mm-hmm. section.
Yep. And very inexpensively. You guys use Ustream, correct?
We do.
Yep. So all you got to do is get the video and the audio feed in there, and away you go.
That's right.
Nice segue into community feedback. We had other people talking to us as well.
Yeah, starting with Jason Schmidt. We mentioned him earlier in the show. He is a tweeting teacher from Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska, and one of the things that he shared this week was DocDroid, and let's see if I know what the web address is. It's docdroid.net.
Net, right.
And it's a place to upload and share documents mm-hmm. online. And you and I both, I think, went out and played with this website, Martin. Mm-hmm. It was pretty easy to use. What'd you think?
Very easy to use, and single function, so it only takes certain formats or certain kinds of documents. It's a fairly long list, but it includes the usual suspects like Microsoft Word and Excel and those kinds of things. One nice thing is that it can be password protected, so you can put up a document just for the eyes of one person. You can do multiple documents. They can be password protected. It stores it for, I think they said, 60 days after its last usage or access. So it will stay up there for some period of time. So it's a good way to share documents, but it also converts documents. So you could upload a doc file, and you could somebody could download it if they don't have a copy of Microsoft Office, could download it as a PDF. Or an ODT for open office format, something like that. So it's they've kind of removed a lot of the barriers for sharing documents. Now, it's not the same as, let's say, a Google Docs, because you can upload almost anything to Google Docs, or Dropbox, those kinds of things. These are really for document word processing or office-type documents.
They do take PowerPoint as well.
Right, PowerPoint.
And
mm-hmm.
one thing I thought was really cool was it gives you a link to the file, and it's viewable in a browser.
Mm-hmm.
So not just downloadable, but also just viewable online.
Yep.
So
I did notice it had some formatting challenges with the DocX file that I uploaded. Some of the things ran off the left side of the screen. But I could download the original as well if I wanted to see the original. So very easy to use. It's just it's a very Spartan website, very utilitarian. It's got a button to click, and you upload the file, and you're done.
And I would recommend doing it if you're an Internet Explorer user in IE8, because it's not working well with IE7. So that's my one disclaimer.
Okay.
But work great in Chrome and Firefox as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And just a convenient tool. And, you know, Martin, I'm just kind of reminded, I use this analogy a lot. It's like you have on a tool belt, and you just kind of store these things away in your tool belt, and it may very well come in handy in your church or school office, in your ministry somehow.
Mm-hmm. And it's totally free.
Yep, price is right.
I think I had the next community feedback section. I put a couple Deagle links up there for the Wells Tech group. If you're ever interested in following along with some of the things that Sally or I find interesting, we do use DIGO. And there is a Wells Tech list or group that you can join so that you can kind of stay up to speed on some of the things that we see during the week. We really would encourage you to do that. If you want to share stuff with us, you can also share via DIGO, that's DIIGO.com, and tag it with Wells Tech, and we'll be able to see it as well. But two things that I found that I shared on DIGO. One is a blog post on lifehacker.org, the five best fax services. This kind of ties in nicely with our church and school office focus today. And the way of the fax machine, I think the physical standalone fax machine is a dying breed, so to speak, and none too soon, at least in my opinion. But there are still need to have fax services, and these electronic fax solutions like eFax and those kinds of things are potentially tools that you could use to replace that fax machine that sits in the corner and takes up a phone number that you have to pay for. So great blog post that kind of gives the pluses and minuses of the five best fax services. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. And the other thing I ran across that I wanted to share was just some simple video tutorials that Google puts out on HTML coding, on CSS, and JavaScript. They're kind of straightforward approaches to just some good training resources about what is HTML. So if you're just getting into web page design or want to do some homegrown coding, these are great introductory videos for you to take a look at on the language that makes up the web at this point. So that's I thought that was very timely.
Don't you just love video tutorials?
They're awesome.
So awesome that there's so much knowledge out there that's being shared that we can learn from right there at our computer.
And for me, and everybody's a little bit different kind of learner, but for me, I like the screencast model where I can see somebody actually click around, and it seems to sink in a little bit more as opposed to just reading or screenshots. So that's why I like the video approach as well.
Absolutely. I love it, actually, when they stumble a little bit and you get to learn from their mistakes as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When things don't go as smoothly, because, you know, that's real life. That's what it's like to deal with some of the tools. So
yep.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you had a Deagle look, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, I did, but I'm going to go off script just a little bit, Martin, and insert a plug for our Wells Tech listserv as well. That's
yes.
A way that we can communicate with each other via email. And just today, we're recording this on Tuesday, there's been some Wells Tech conversation. A question came up from Ryan Rosenthal, who's a teacher at Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And he said that he was having trouble getting his emails to send out, especially when they're sending them to a list of 20 to 80 people with a newsletter. And so there's some good discussion around that related to virus protection and blocking of listed emails like that. And then also, I think Gail Potratz actually suggested that he try MailChimp.
Right.
So just a great community of Wells Tech listeners out there at your disposal. So if you haven't tapped into the listserv, you might want to check out that link as well.
Yep. Very good.
And then, yeah, I did have a couple of links myself to share. One is to Font Park. It's at fontpark.net, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a place to download a ton of free and wonderful fonts for use in your documents or whatever.
Great site. Yeah, they are all in TrueType format, and all kinds of styles and varieties. They're nicely indexed, and they're very easy to grab and use. So if you're looking for ways to spruce up your church or school newsletter, this is a great resource.
So check that out. And then the other link that I wanted to provide is to a site called makeuseof.com, where they just give you different tutorials and ideas of how to do things. And in this case, they've published a 50-page Windows 7 guide from newbies to pros. And it says if you're one of the 80% of the users who might be afraid to upgrade from Vista or XP because you feel it's going to be completely different than what you're used to, you should read the Make Use Of new guide, Windows 7 Guide from Newbies to Pros. And it's a free PDF download, or you can actually link to it in Scribd and read it online in Scribd format. So I am actually one of the 80% who haven't yet upgraded to Windows 7, and I think I'm going to be checking out this guide, learning some things about it. Looks like a real good resource.
Very good. Next week, we are going to be talking about a tool that we've mentioned in the past and most of you are probably familiar with, and that's Flickr. Flickr for churches. We hope to have Diane Lohr, a web designer or graphic designer, come on the show as well. She is the owner, proprietor, whatever, of Adunate, and we'll have to ask her about that title. Adunate Word and Design in Watertown, Wisconsin. She does a lot of work with churches and schools. So we're looking forward to having her on talking about design principles. So that's coming up next week. And I think that's going to do it for the show today, Sally. We probably went over time here, but we had a lot of stuff to go through and an exciting topic.
Yeah, definitely. Enjoyed this one.
So if people wanted to follow you during the week, Sally, where would they go?
Well, I am out there on Twitter tweeting away. Mm-hmm. My Twitter name is WealthTechTrainer. And, of course, you can also friend me on Facebook if you search for Sally Draper. So lots of ways to connect with us.
Yep, and I am at M. Spriggs in both locations, Facebook or Twitter. Be happy to dialogue with you there. Just a reminder again, make sure you're forwarding this episode to your church or school secretary. We'd like to increase that segment of our audience. I think we've got some good things coming up in the future, especially for those folks who toil away in our church and school offices. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Let's close the show with the music of Michael Schrader, Forgiveness is Grace, from his album The Way. Take care and God bless.
We were mostly happy years with the family in place. But sin came a-calling and somehow she strayed. It took him years to forgive what he lost. He would find the way at the foot of the cross. And he said, let him without sin cast the first stone. Let the power of love carry you home. 'Cause for each of my sins this life he would pay. Yeah, the one thing he taught me, forgiveness is a grace. It was late in the evening when the headlights came, and a drunken driver well crossed in her lane. And one single moment I was gone. It took a greater love to show her how to go on. And she said, let him without sin cast the first stone. Let the power of love carry you home. 'Cause for each of my sins this life he would pay. Yeah, the one thing he taught me is forgiveness is a grace. God says, forgive others as I forgive you. But if you won't forgive, well, can he forgive? I wanna be forgiven, I wanna be with you. So I'll pray for your strength, and I'll pray for your grace. And I'll pray for your love, and it's carrying me through. He was more than a boy, became a fine young man. He never did anyone wrong, and God had this plan for his children held ransom, his son he'd exchange. And as he died on that cross for the sins of me and you, He said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. So let him without sin cast the first stone. Let the power of love carry you home. 'Cause for each of my sins, in this life he would pay. Yeah, the one thing he taught me, yeah, the one thing he showed me, through him I remember. Yeah, the one thing he taught me is forgiveness is a grace.